Our scripture reading this morning will come from three places. And the first place will be from Luke 5, verses 12 to 16, then Luke 9, the verses 51 to 56, and then our text from Luke 16, the verses 11 to 19. On your bulletins or in your bulletins, I have placed an insert of this morning's sermon outline. And on the opposite side of that insert are the three scripture readings I'll be reading in a moment from the English Standard Version. First, Luke 5, 12 to 16, then Luke 9, 51 to 56, and then at the top, that's our scripture reading, Luke 17, 11 through 19. Well, let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word, beginning at Luke 5, beginning at verse 12 through 16. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. And then from Luke 9, beginning at verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. And then our text today, Luke 17, beginning at verse 11 and reading through verse 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Thus the reading of God's word from Luke 5, Luke 9, and Luke 17, the verses 11 to 19. Keep in mind the outline as well that was in your bulletin as you follow along today's sermon. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, the season of Thanksgiving is upon us, the time of year when we give thanks to God for all the blessings that he has given us. And this week, as I was researching our sermon text from the Gospel of Luke 17, I came to find out that the healing of the 10 lepers is a favorite text for preachers to preach during Thanksgiving. And the text is often interpreted along these lines. Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and only one of the 10 returned back to Jesus to give thanks for the healing of leprosy that Jesus gave him. The other 9 just went back to their regular earthly life without giving thanks to Jesus. This year at Thanksgiving time, these preachers would say, don't be like one of the 9 who asked for God's mercy and salvation, but then don't go back to thank Jesus. Let's be like the one leper, they would say, who went back to thank Jesus for all that Jesus had done for him. And while everything in this interpretation is all biblically true, and it is true that we need to give thanks to God, especially at Thanksgiving, for the salvation he has given us. While that's biblically true and taught in other places of Scripture, that's not the main point of Jesus in our text this morning. And if you make that the main point, then you've missed the bigger point that God inspired the gospel writer of Luke to have you know. And what is that main point? Well, the key to understanding the main point of this text is to notice, first of all, that this is not the only time in the Gospel of Luke that a leper is cured from leprosy. As you noticed this morning, I read during the scripture reading time also from Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, where another leper is healed in Luke's gospel. And there are similarities between Luke chapter 5 and the healing of the first leper and Luke chapter 17 and the healing of the 10. Similarities and differences. In the similarities, we see that in Luke chapter 5, a leper is coming to Jesus just like in Luke 17. And they are wanting Jesus to heal them. And sure enough, in both passages, the lepers are healed and cured. In both passages, we see that Jesus tells the leper and the lepers to go show themselves to the priests, to show the priest that you have been healed. This is according to the law of Moses, as Jesus states in Luke chapter 5, where according to the book of Leviticus, a leper who was healed or thought he was cleansed would go through this process before the priests at the temple, where they would be examined by the priest, and following a waiting period of some 7 days, they could come back to the priest, and if the priest saw no more leprosy upon them, they could be declared cleansed of their leprosy, offer sacrifices before the Lord of thanks, and return again to their homes, to their families, to their cities. So there are similarities between the two accounts, but there are also some differences. But the most important difference is this. In the healing of the leper in Luke chapter 5, we see this account, the healing of that leper, recorded in two other gospels. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded. But the healing of the 10 lepers in Luke 17 is only recorded by the Gospel writer of Luke. Why is that? The answer to that question is the key to understanding Jesus' main point. And so let's begin by looking this morning at the location where this takes place. We start in verse 11, where Jesus, we're told, is on the way to Jerusalem. Verse 11 tells us Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. Now, that's a significant point, because at various times in the Gospel of Luke, we will see that Luke records for us Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. There's a turning point mid-gospel where we start seeing that. And Luke is giving us a reminder of Jesus' destination, where he is going. And because we know, as believers, the end of the story in the Gospel of Luke, we know what's going to happen in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus finally ends up in Jerusalem. When he goes to Jerusalem and he enters finally on the day of Palm Sunday, and they lay the palm branches down, he will end up before the authorities, arrested, and eventually he will go to Jerusalem, where he will die on the cross. The cross, Jerusalem is ever before us in this passage, and Luke is pointing it out at the very beginning. That's where Jesus is headed, and to remind you, that's what's going to happen to Jesus. But then as he begins telling us he's on the way to Jerusalem, he goes on with more location details. He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. He's passing along between Galilee and Samaria. Galilee is made up of a mixture of some Jewish people and some Gentiles. Jesus spent most of his early part of his ministry in Galilee, preaching to Jews, but also including some Gentiles. But we're also told Samaria. Samaria, a region made up of descendants of the Old Testament northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, there were two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, where Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom. There was that 10 tribes of the northern kingdom who were taken out by the Assyrians many years before the time when the Babylonians came and took the southern kingdom into captivity. As the Assyrians left behind some of the Old Testament people from the northern kingdom, some of them remained behind, and some of them intermarried with the locals. And because of that intermarriage and the mixture of peoples that they were despised by the Jews. We know all of this from John chapter 9. For in John chapter 9, Jesus meets the woman of Samaria, and he wants a drink of water. And she can't believe that Jesus would ask for a drink of water from a Samaritan. And all the details in John chapter 9 are told to us about the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans. But we also know, as you saw in our scripture reading this morning, that in Luke chapter 9, there was a previous incident that took place between Jesus and the Samaritans. You're familiar most of all with the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus tells that parable and reminds the disciples, and he reminds us of the Good Samaritan and his generosity to the robber, to the man that was injured by the robbers. But also in Luke 9, as I read this morning, there is a previous incident in the Gospel of Luke that takes place between Jesus, his disciples, and a Samaritan village. It's a Samaritan village that will not receive Jesus. And did you notice something about that passage? Something that's repeated twice that we also see repeated in Luke 17. Look carefully at it again today, if you just glance at it here for a moment again. In verse 51 of Luke 9, we're told that the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That's how Luke 17, verse 11 starts out. He's headed toward Jerusalem, and it's told us to hear again. He's going to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him, but the people did not receive him. Why? Look at the end of that verse, verse 53. Because his face was set toward Jerusalem. You see, in Luke chapter 9, because Jesus had his face set toward Jerusalem, the Samaritans were not interested in receiving him. That's because, as we were told in John chapter 4, the Samaritans went to worship at a different place than Jerusalem. The Jews went to Jerusalem, to the temple at Jerusalem, to worship the Lord. But the Samaritans, because they were despised, did not go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, as the woman tells Jesus in Luke chapter and John chapter 4. They went to another mountain to worship. And so when Jesus in Luke 9 approaches the Samaritan village, because he is headed toward Jerusalem, where he knows he's going to die on the cross and fulfill the temple at Jerusalem, They know he's headed to Jerusalem. They do not receive him. The disciples are so offended in Luke 9 that they do not receive Jesus that they tell Jesus, well, let's call down the fire of heaven to come down upon them and consume them. But Jesus rebukes them because it is not time for the final judgment of God. Jesus has come to proclaim the gospel, to bring about the salvation of God. And though the Samaritans in Luke 9 have hard hearts, it is not the time for the final judgment of God to come. This is the time of the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so we're told in Luke 17 that on the border of Galilee and Samaria, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus now meets 10 lepers. Point B on your outline. 10 lepers. And the lepers we see in verse 12 are doing what lepers were required to do. As he enters the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. Notice how the text is so specific in describing them. These 10 lepers remaining at a distance from the village because they had this contagious skin disease. There was no cure for leprosy in Jesus' day. There were some who had a lesser leprosy that they could eventually go to a priest and somehow overcome it. But most lepers, when they came down with it, they were expected to live outside of the city, outside of the villages, with little hope of being cured. That's why they lived in a leper colony. And the Old Testament tells us specifically that they were to keep their distance. And if they were to come near people who did not have leprosy, they would have to shout out, according to the book of Leviticus, unclean, unclean, and keep their distance. Perhaps you remember the scene in the movie Ben-Hur, when the villagers see the lepers coming into the town and they start throwing stones at them, wanting them to leave. That is a realistic picture, what it was like for many of them. They had to keep their distance. And as Jesus is coming to the village, the lepers have come out and they speak to him. And look what they say to Jesus in verse 13. They lift up their voices and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now notice what they call him. They call him by his name, Jesus, which means Savior. Did they understand that he was the Savior that God had sent? The text does not tell us, but certainly they know him by his common name, Jesus. They then call him Master. The Master does not necessarily indicate that they know him as the Son of God, Master. Perhaps they did, but they may also think of him only as a teacher and as a rabbi who has healing powers from God. And so they call out, because they know that Jesus has provided mercy to others, they call out for Jesus to provide mercy to them. And while they don't specifically call out for Jesus to make them clean, like the leper in Luke 5, we could certainly see that by calling out for Jesus' mercy, they are calling out for him to heal them from their leprosy. And so in chapter 5, when the leper calls out, Jesus heals him immediately. We saw that. The leper comes to Jesus. He recognizes he's unclean. He asks Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretches out his hand. He touches him. He says, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. But that doesn't happen here in Luke 17. Here in Luke 17, Jesus doesn't say anything to him in terms of his being clean or the other 10 lepers. Instead, verse 14, Jesus tells them to do something different. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went and were cleansed. You see, Jesus doesn't say, "Be healed." He doesn't reach out and touch them and heal them. He sends all 10 of them off to the priests. And he tells them to go to the priests before they've even been healed. Remember what we saw in Luke chapter 5. Jesus first heals the leper, and then he sends him off to the priest because he's been cleansed. And now the leper, as he goes to the priest, is going to go through this process that God has told the priest to go through in terms of the cleansing period to make sure that the leprosy is gone. And if at the end of the 10 days or however long it is that they have been cleansed of that leprosy, they still don't have it. Now they can return to society and where they've been. But you don't see that here in our text. Jesus doesn't cleanse them first. And if you were one of the lepers, you would think to yourself, well, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be cleansed first, then I can go to the priest. If I'm not cleansed first and I still have leprosy and I show up at the priest, he's going to wonder why I'm here and why somehow I begin to think that I'm healed. But nevertheless, that's the way Jesus does it in Luke 17. And the lepers do not protest, but they go and they obey Jesus at his word. And as they go, as they went, we're told at the end of verse 14, they were cleansed of their leprosy immediately. Were they cleansed on the road, on the way? That's certainly the impression our text gives. Were they cleansed by the time they arrived or after they saw the priest? We're not told specifically those details, but there is enough detail to know in the text that even though Jesus didn't cleanse them first, he told them to go to the priests, and on the way to the priests or somehow in there, they were immediately cleansed of this disease for which there was no cure. So after the cleansing, verse 15 and 16, there is one of the nine, or one of the 10, we're told, who comes back to Jesus. Look at verse 15. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Notice the order of things that has taken place. First, we're told that this man returns. Jesus told him to go to the priest. And a Samaritan, of course, that's what we're told he is at the end of that second verse. He is a Samaritan, and he is supposed to go not to Jerusalem, but to a Samaritan priest at Mount Gerizim instead of Jerusalem. And when he goes to the priest, he is going to a man who represents God. The priests were given to the people who would work at the temple representing God. And on behalf of God, the priest could declare the leper clean. But this Samaritan goes back to Jesus. And as he goes back, you notice, we're told again in the text, something about his voice. Remember what we saw in verse 13. In verse 13, all 10 lepers lift up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And now we're told he lifts up his voice again. This time in verse 15, it's described as a loud voice. That voice which first called out for Jesus and God's mercy, now that voice is coming back with praise. He gives praise to God with his loud voice. And in giving praise to God, notice what's happened to what this man has said about Jesus. When he first lifted up his voice, he called him Jesus, Master, with the 10 others. Does he really know that Jesus is the Savior? Does he know that Jesus is the Son of God? Does he know that Jesus is more than just a master or a rabbi or another teacher who somehow can do healings? Does he understand that? We're not know for sure the first time he lifts up his voice, but the second time he lifts up his voice, what does he do? He praises God. You see, he has made the connection that Jesus is from God. He is praising God for the healing that he has experienced. And following the lifting up his voice in a loud voice, louder than before, where he gives his praise unto God because he now recognizes that Jesus is from God, he takes on a certain posture which confirms it. What does he do? The verse goes on, verse 16, to say, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. The posture of falling at Jesus' feet matches the posture of so many others in the Gospel of Luke. It matches the posture of the woman in Luke chapter 7, the woman of the city who, after Jesus healed her and offered her sins forgiven, fell down at his feet. It matches the posture of the woman who was bleeding and reached out to touch Jesus when she saw him on the street, thinking, if I just can touch him, I'll be healed. And when Jesus says, who touched me? She falls down at his feet. The posture of this leper is the posture of a man at worship. You see, it's not just that he says, well, Jesus is from God and I've been healed from God because Jesus came from God. He worships in a way after he falls down at his feet that indicates he knows that Jesus is God. He goes from praising God for his healing to giving thanks before Jesus' feet, that Jesus is God and has healed him. This Samaritan knew that Jesus, who was on the way to Jerusalem, had healed him. Verse 17. Jesus answered, were not the 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Now notice that word that Jesus uses. He calls him a foreigner. That means that Jesus is highlighting the fact, something about the other 9. Remember what we said concerning the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews went to their temple at Jerusalem. They had no problem with Jesus going to Jerusalem. That was the place where they worshiped. But Samaritans, they didn't go to Jerusalem. Samaritans went to their own mountain to worship God. They had their own priests to worship God. And when Jesus tried to come into their region, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus because he was on the way to Jerusalem. And who comes back to Jesus? Last word in verse 18. A foreigner, a Samaritan. And that is Jesus' main point. The way Jesus puts it, describing him as a foreigner, implies that the other foreigners, or the other 9, were not foreigners. They were Jews. They went to their temple in Jerusalem, just like Jesus told them to do, and show their priest, but they never came back to thank Jesus and to identify with Jesus as God and to worship him at his feet and to give thanks. Instead, this Samaritan, he's called in verse 16. This foreigner, Jesus calls him in verse 18, was supposed to go back to Samaria and to their mountain at Mount Gerizim. And unlike the villagers in chapter 9, who did not want Jesus in their village because he was on his way to Jerusalem, this Samaritan comes back to worship Jesus, to praise God for the healing that Jesus had done in his life. And he falls at Jesus' feet as if Jesus is God. You see, the Samaritan now understands it's not about mountains where you go to worship anymore. It's not going to be about priests at earthly temples anymore. That's not the kingdom of God that Jesus came to bring. Salvation is found in the one true high priest, Jesus Christ, the object of this man's faith, the Lord Jesus, God's Son. And then, verse 19, Jesus commends this Samaritan for his faith. He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Do you see how Jesus commends him for his faith? The same way he spoke to the woman of the city in Luke chapter 7 who fell at his feet. The same way he spoke to the bleeding woman in Luke chapter 8 who fell at his feet after the healing. He now said the same thing to the Samaritan leper who fell at his feet in worship. "Your faith has made you well." Now keep in mind the kind of commending this is. This is not to say as if Jesus is crediting this man for doing something, that by his faith he is credited because he did a work to be made well. It's not the work of faith that made him well. It was the work of the Holy Spirit that first was at work in his heart so that he now has faith. The power of the Holy Spirit, which regenerated his heart, has changed the thinking of a Samaritan leper who was locked into the kind of thinking of his people that had encountered Jesus in Luke chapter 9 about their mountain, and they didn't want Jesus to come to their village because he was on his way to Jerusalem. They would not receive him. Now in Luke 17, the Jesus who is on the way to Jerusalem is worshipped by a Samaritan. A Samaritan whose heart and whose thinking and whose life was completely transformed by the Holy Spirit. A transforming power that opened his eyes to understand the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. That as a leper who was an unclean sinner, then had no earthly hope of cleansing or being declared clean by a priest, he is cleansed by the work of the Holy Spirit in his heart because he now knows the priest at the Samaritan mountain cannot help him. He needs a Son of God priest, a Son of God, Son of Man priest to take away his leprosy. He needs this Son of God, Son of Man priest to go to Jerusalem, to take away his uncleanness and his sin. And because of the work of the Holy Spirit, his faith has now caused him to return and give thanks to God and to fall at Jesus' feet. Because of his faith, he is now joined to a kingdom of God where there are no lepers, a kingdom of God where a sinner's sins are washed away and they are made right before God. They are forgiven and made righteous before him. The kind of salvation that Jesus has come to bring, the evidence of that faith is shown in his life in the thankfulness and the gratefulness of his heart. Do you see now why the gospel writer of Luke uniquely records this text in his gospel, in addition to the healing of the leper in chapter 5 that Mark and Matthew record? It goes back, as we pointed out last week, to the foreshadowing technique in this chapter. For in the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, we're told that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In verse 5, we're told that the disciples are now called apostles. That's because the gospel writer of Luke continues the gospel story as it begins in the gospel of Luke to the book of Acts to the very ends of the earth. God has inspired the gospel writer of Luke to think not only of Jews, but also of the inclusion of the Gentiles in the salvation plan of God. And the reason the gospel writer of Luke, inspired by God, includes the 10 lepers in his account of what he witnessed concerning Jesus is because he wants the readers of his gospel to know that not only are Jews going to come to Christ and believe in salvation, but even Samaritans will be drawn to the salvation of Christ and included in the new temple, the Lord Jesus who will die on the cross and pay for his sins to make Jews and Gentiles and Samaritans clean. You see, the point of this passage is not to teach you a moral lesson, that you should not forget to thank God for the blessings you received during Thanksgiving time and remember to thank him as the leper once did. But the main point of the passage is for you to identify with the faith of the Samaritan. The reason God inspired Luke to record this text is to remind you that you, like the leper, are a sinner and are unclean. There is no way for you to enter into the fellowship of the kingdom of God if you are an unclean sinner. But God sent the Lord Jesus, his high priest. God's son is here. He went to Jerusalem to die on the cross and to pay for your sins. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, your heart has been changed. You have been drawn to him, and it shows in your faith. And your faith ought to be expressed as the leper expressed it. A giving thanks to God, praise to God for the salvation that's come into your heart, and a faith which takes on the posture of worship as the leper fell at Jesus' feet. This is the faith of a Samaritan, but this is the faith of a believer. Do you have that faith? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this scripture passage, which puts before us the faith of a foreigner, the faith of a Samaritan who understood that Jesus Christ was the only way to salvation, a Samaritan who understood as a leper that he had no hope without Jesus of ever entering into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can read this account and be reminded of his response to the healing and grace of Christ, that he goes before Jesus giving praise to God because he knows that Jesus is the Son of God, that he goes to Jesus and he identifies with the salvation that has come as he worships him at his feet. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would stir up this knowledge and gratefulness in our own hearts, that we would identify with the faith of this Samaritan in Luke 17, that we too would know that we are sinners and without hope without you, that, Lord, we would identify with the fact that we are unclean, that as unclean sinners, we could never enter into the kingdom of heaven. But our Savior, the Lord Jesus, went to Jerusalem and died on the cross and paid for our sins so that we too have been brought into that kingdom of heaven, that kingdom of God. Our sins are washed away and we've been made clean. Stir in us, Lord, by your Spirit, an expression of our faith, that we too would give thanks to you, that we too would worship our Savior at his feet. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.